The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
This is supposed to be the quiet time around the National Football League, the break before training camp begins in Bourbonnais for the Bears, but yet the Bears still busy. Good evening, special Sunday edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman, happy to have you aboard. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be talking with one of your 85 teammates, Gary Fensick, and the reason we're going to have him on is, Tom, safety, a major position, a question mark, heading into training camp, and the Bears wasting no time. They go through the entire offseason, they go through all the OTAs, they go through minicamp, and then afterwards decide, hey, you know what? We want to add another player to the mix, and they end up signing five-time Pro Bowl safety Adrian Wilson.
Yeah, and what a reputation he comes in with. And he has a solid football reputation. Unfortunately, he's had a little bit of an injury bug the last time he tried to get on the field. You know, with that being said, again, it makes me admire Phil Emery and his staff even more because they leave no stone unturned. Does Adrian Wilson have the ability left to compete at an NFL level against quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers? We don't know. But as you talked about, this is a really significant off period for all the players and probably the most important period when you're by yourself before the starting training camp. Adrian Wilson and his teammates can go and put effort into making sure they're qualified and prepared once training camp starts, or else you can rest, sleep in, take it easy, not work out as hard, and you put yourself in jeopardy of not making the team at the end of this big break.
Jim, what do you make of this move?
Well, one, Zach, Tom, good to be with you guys again. I think it tells you there was a need that has to be addressed. You've been through all the mini camps, all the OTAs, and you say, hey, we've still got a problem here. So you got to go out and address the problem. And he was probably one of the top guys that were out there. It's been a very thin market in terms of safeties. They were scooped up pretty quickly, and the Bears did their work with MD Jennings and obviously Ryan Mundy. But obviously it tells you there's still more to be done. There's more that has to be addressed. I agree with Tom, just piggybacking off of his thoughts. Here's a guy that's played well, been very productive. When you look at Adrian Wilson, a ton of production, but his body has been failing him as of late. You know, let's be honest, he's a 12-year veteran, and you're going to, you know, you're going to spend some time and take a look-see just to see what he's got left, because it tells me they're not happy with how it looked and how it unfolded through the OTAs and minicamps.
Yeah, Jim, the thing that stands out to me, though, and you talked about it, five-time Pro Bowl player, but that's in the past. When you look at recent history, missed all of last year with a torn Achilles, was cut by the Patriots in April, and, you know, you guys can help me out on this. Can you remember the last time a guy came back from a torn Achilles and was a highly productive player the next season?
I did it after 99, came back, played well, came back in 5 months and was able to go ended up straining my hamstring in training camp because there is that compensation period. But Adrian should be past that now, would be my opinion. The problem down in Arizona, the reason why he was released, he played the one whole year. I think he had a torn bicep tendon is what he was dealing with. And this is a tough guy now. So, you know, if he's healthy, this could be a great signing for the Bears. This guy's a body rocker now, and he's not afraid to throw his body around, and that's why he's probably been failing him as of late. But can he help out the Bears? Yeah, realistically, I think he can, and I think he can come back and be a quality player. May not be for a whole season, but can it get you through? I think we know that sometimes you need that little pinch that he can get you through, and maybe Adrian Wilson can provide that.
Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Let's ask the expert of all experts, one of the best to ever play the position in Bears history, 85 Bear, two-time Pro Bowl safety Gary Fensick joins us, and he is number one in Bears history all time in interceptions with 38, although Peanut keeps knocking on the door. Gary, welcome to the show. What do you make of the fact that the Bears spent the entire offseason working out certain guys at safety and then right at the end of minicamp, before they begin training camp, they go out and sign Adrian Wilson and put him into the mix?
Well, they have a lot of safeties to choose from going into the preseason, but I can guarantee you one thing. They're all going to be a lot better with all the changes and improvements they made on the defensive line.
Hey, Gary, can you get better as a safety if you're not in there having the physical reps? I mean, a guy like Brock Vereen or Ryan Monday or DJ or Jennings and these guys, can they understand and conceptualize the defense without getting the reps?
No, I don't think you can. I think it's all about meshing as a unit, and it's meshing with the linebackers, the cornerbacks, you know, getting a better feel for, you know, what are the holes and how do you approach it. I mean, last year, I mean, I feel bad for those safeties. I know they didn't have a good year, but it was a freeway. I mean, they were waving by, you know, as they're going through the defensive line. But I think it's all about coordination, and you've got, you know, different coaches, you've got different players. And it's how quickly can you mesh to make sure that you guys can have an impact right away in the early part of the season.
Hey, Gary, Jim Miller here. Good to talk to you again, bud. And
good to hear, you know, good to talk to you as well, Jim. I mean, that was pretty amazing. You're talking about your Achilles. I mean, I you know, not many people are able to come back from an Achilles surgery.
Yeah, it is. It's different. It used to be the kiss of death, but now with surgeries and advancements and all those things, it's not as bad as what it was. Look at Terrell Suggs, how he came back the Super Bowl year for the Baltimore Ravens. Let me ask you this, Gary. Both, I want you to diagnose both free safety and the strong safety position. What do you feel is the number one attribute you need at those positions?
Well, I think when you're I play both of them, so I started my first 6 years at strong, and there I think it's really being coordinated with the linebackers, having a really good understanding of holes and you know, what are you really trying to accomplish. And so it's being aggressive, and of course when I was playing, it's a lot more run-oriented than it was pass-oriented, but I think it's really being very physical and making an impact there. And I think on free safety, It's you have to be much more passive aggressive in that you've got to come up and fill, but you really have to understand angles, because at the end of the day, no matter what happens, you've got to make sure that you are the last man. If you've got to tackle someone by your fingernails, that you make sure that you get the job done. So you can't just rush up. You've really got to be more patient. And you know, you see everything when you're lining up 12 or 15 yards back, so that you're going to have a better understanding of the angles as you're coming up to make the play.
And that's why in your first answer you mentioned the defensive line, and they play such a big role of kind of stifling what people can do coming out of the backfield, and that's where the safety has a little bit of an advantage in taking those angles. We're talking with Gary Fensick, 85 Bear, two-time Pro Bowl safety with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. I know you still go to most of the games at Soldier Field. I know you watch a lot of the games on TV when they're on the road. What do you make of Mark Trestman's first year as Bears head coach and the direction of the organization from what you've seen this offseason going forward under his leadership?
Well, I mean, clearly the offense had a great year last year. I mean, it was really exciting, and most Bear fans were kind of, I'm sure, shocked that we have such a productive offense. And I think that will continue to get better. I mean, the offensive line, as Tom knows, is going to continue to mesh as they get to have more experience working together. You know, my only concern on the offense is the age. I mean, you've got Marshall, who's 30, and Cutler, who's 31. Matt Forte, 29, going to be 30. So your window is really going to close as those star players, get older, and then you get more susceptible to injuries. And defense, man, it's just a matter of, you know, Mel Tucker's got to make it happen this year. You know, they've fired coaches. They've got a lot of changes. I love the picks that they made in the defensive line, because, you know, if you're in a 4-3 defense, it all starts up front. You got a mean front four, and they may have a mean front 7 or 8. It's going to make everybody look a lot better at linebacker, at safety, on coverage, blitzes, everything. And so, you know, I'm pretty excited about the moves they made. I think the organization did a good job there, but now, you know, it's a very competitive division. You got to make it happen.
Hey, Gary, how about offenses in general? When you see an offense like last year's Philly offense and Chip Kelly, or else you think about the big receivers, the combo receivers here in Chicago, in Atlanta, in Cincinnati and stuff, what type of football are you more enamored with? Is it that high-potent offense or Philly, or is it the challenge of the big receivers downfield?
Yeah, Tom, I look at offenses and, you know, just look, one, everybody knows you got to have a quarterback. So, you know, I don't think anyone doubted that the Bears absolutely had to re-sign Cutler. They didn't have any options. If you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to have an offense. I know. I mean, I through experience, I can tell you that's absolutely the case. In terms of offenses, I guess I'm looking at, you know, offenses that have enough balance to keep the defense honest, so it's just not passing all of the time. Being physical to so they can adjust their game and say, hey, you want to play physical, do that as well. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's, if you've got a really great passing offense, I'm just amazed by how proficient some of these passing offenses are. And it's not just running a little, you know, five-yard scoot across the middle. I mean, I'm just been blown away by some of the athleticism of these 6'4", 6'5", wide receivers. They can run seams, and you can really just, you're getting enough time as a quarterback to just punish defenses, whether it's hitting the tight end or hitting these big, massive wide receivers, and doing it in a controlled tempo way.
Well, Gary, you bring up good points that you're blown away. I think Bears fans were blown away at how productive the offense was a year ago. Now I want to turn it to, because they did a great job rebuilding the offensive line, can the defense make that same type of jump? Can you go realistically from 31st, almost worst, to first? I mean, what are realistic expectations for the Bears defense to return to the monsters of the Midway?
Yeah, you know, Jim, it's a good question because, I mean, one, you have a lot of excuses that you had a new defensive coordinator, get a lot of injuries both on the, in the front seven. I mean, linebackers and the front four as well had some people just weren't as productive as they've been in the past, like Julius Peppers. And so you've got a lot of changes in how quickly and what are the expectations. I think in today's game, you know, with the OTAs and everything, you know, you can make improvements that are going to have a pretty dramatic effect quickly. Now, are the Bears going to be, you know, dominant top 10 defense? I don't think that can happen in 1 year. But, you know, you've got two young DTs. And you know, when I first saw that, I go, wow, you're using draft choices for both the second and third round of defensive tackle. But, you know, you get, you know, free agents from Detroit and you get, you know, someone who I and most other people hadn't heard of from the Oakland Raiders, but I really liked getting Jared Allen as well because, you know what, he's hungry. He wants to get a Super Bowl ring. He's got tremendous energy, and hopefully he has enough energy in the tank to really make an impact. I'm expecting that they will progressively get better, and if they can hit their stride and really make a bigger impact in the second half of the season, develop momentum to go into the playoffs, I think that would be a realistic expectation.
When do you know? We're talking with Gary Fencik here on Bears All Access. When do you know as a player when a guy is ready to take that next step? And the reason I bring it up is the Bears have two guys who at the safety position, unless Adrian Wilson is able to beat them out, realistically they're going to have two guys that have never played together with the same team. You have one guy who might be playing in the NFL in Brock Vereen for the very first time. When do you know that a guy can play?
You know what? You know the toughest thing is going to be for him. He's not going to have. I was very fortunate when I first came in. I played behind Doug Buffon, and Doug Buffon was not at the peak of his career, but he was so smart, and I could just play off of him. He was such an intelligent player, and those safeties aren't going to have that experience in front of them, with exception maybe one linebacker to be able to do that with Briggs. So I think it's going to be tougher for them, but you're making a lot of assumptions about who's going to be at that safety position. And I know Chris Conte had a terrible year last year, but I saw 2 years ago a guy who played pretty well, and the question is going to be, you know, coming off of that shoulder surgery, is he going to be the same safety he was 2 years ago, or is he going to just be the guy who's going to be a fall person and get rid of him?
You know,
You know, it's tough to play, it's really tough to play on a bad defense where the front four just aren't making their contribution. And those holes look huge. And you know what? Those safeties are playing back 12 or 15 yards now, and you're coming up. And those running backs, Adrian Peterson was having a two-way on you. You go left, right, coming, you know, completely free as he went through the defensive line.
Well, isn't that kind of the challenge to Mel Tucker? Because what is going to be your front seven? You know, back in the 85, 86 and stuff, when you're talking about the change from 4-6 to a 4-3 defense, but you're great at both, you know, you kind of put everybody else in a comfort zone. And the challenge of Mel Tucker is, Do you have the front 7-8 to be great at something? Is it a four-man rush? Is it a combined seven-man rush? What is it? Don't you think that is the biggest challenge to help the defensive backs is to solidify what your goal plan is for the front seven?
I know, Tom. You know, when Buddy came in the 46 defense, everybody's like, oh, that's the only defense you played. We played every defense. We played 3-4, 4-3. I think what you want is a defensive coordinator who, now it's tougher because you have to do this with experienced players. And so he's got to have a lot of young people. But one, they'll be running in 7 or 8 defensive linemen to keep it fresh. But I think what you want to do, or I would expect, is you want a defensive coordinator who makes the most of the players that he has. So he makes the adjustments, but he's got a philosophical scheme that can confuse other offenses to keep them, you know, you're not predictable as a scheme, and then you just, you know, get the players to make the plays. I think what you're going to see is a lot of players on the front line getting some time to keep players fresh and hopefully gel enough with the linebackers and the secondary so that you're not going to give up the big plays. You don't have to make plays necessarily in terms of being the leading team in the NFL in interceptions or sacks. I think you have to rely upon the offense putting points on the board and allowing the defense to be in a position where you don't, you know, you're playing safe, controlled, good defense. And as you get more confident with the skill set you've got, you start taking advantage of schemes, blitz packages in the second half of the season. I think the first half's going to be, hey, look, let's just gel and not make all the stupid mistakes that we made last year.
Well, Gary, you bring up good points, and twice you've mentioned confidence, and you mentioned, I just want to piggyback going back to Chris Conte a little bit, because he mentioned, he admitted, hey, he lost his confidence a little bit. And now you talk about, hey, the guys up front have been confident and trusting what they're doing. How do you keep that confidence? Because I think you bring up good points, because you as a player understand, hey, all the issues are up front, but you still got to take care of your end as a safety because realistically you're the last line of defense. So how do you keep the confidence is really my question to you, Gary.
Yeah, Jim, I think it's the same offensively and defensively. You know, these are small steps and you kind of earn your way. And I think that's what that unit has to take it on themselves and say, look, you know, we can't make changes overnight and expect, you know, us to go from one of the worst defenses to one of the best defenses. But we can make progressive steps every week that are going to gain confidence amongst ourselves to be able to trust the players when you're in that huddle to say, look, we've got to make these plays. Someone has to step up. And, you know, they've watched that over the last couple of years. But I think there are a lot of good young players in there, and it's time to, you know, restart the tradition of having a great Bear defense. You know, I was in, I think, my fourth year, Dan Hampton came in, changed the entire way that we played defense because he was such a dominating person up front. I think he made our offense a lot better as well, and Tom can talk about that it wasn't Dan only, but that 85 defensive front four. I think, you know, some of the most difficult challenges I think that our offense felt all week was probably going against our own front four. Made them better, I hope. But I think that's what has to happen. It starts individually. It starts within groups, the defensive line, the linebackers, the secondary. And you take pride that you're not going to make mistakes. And then you have confidence that you can actually make plays.
Yep, the scariest game every week was Wednesday and Thursday at practice, and that is not an exaggeration.
Those training camps, you go, hey guys, you know, really, we are on the same team.
Don't care.
Hey, before we say goodbye, Gary, I mentioned it earlier. 38 career interceptions for you as a Bear, all-time franchise leader, and Charles Tillman has 36. What does that say about his career? And did you think, when you said goodbye, that you would see the day where someone would be knocking on the door at that record?
Yeah, hell, of course, Zach. I didn't think it would take this long. I mean, really, it's all about longevity. I mean, Richie Pettibone, who I broke his record, he called me up and, hey, congratulations, but it was like 20 years ago. You know, I don't think Richie was thinking about it much. He was a coach in the NFL. I think that, Charles Tillman will break my record a great, great person to do it. And he just has to stay healthy. It's just a matter of time. So that would be great. Believe me, I just hit a real milestone. I'm 60 years old. I'm not worrying about, you know, is someone going to break the interception record.
You're worried about your pension.
I've had it long enough. I've had it long enough. It's been good. I've been able to milk that, but I think as I have season tickets. I look forward to cheering for Charles Tillman when he hits the record and hopefully exceeds it as well.
Man,
he's a great Bear, and it would be a great thing for him.
Gary, thank you for making us all feel old.
I was going to say.
Yeah, really. I mean, hey, how do you think I felt? That was, it was earlier this month. Those cards where you have a six in front of it, that wasn't the best moment.
Gary, I'm a little bit worried. Was that a subliminal message that your next goal is early Social Security? What's going on there, brother?
Hey, forget Social Security, Jim. I'm getting close to, you know, going into our pension plan.
Great stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm really looking forward to. You know, I'm going to take it as, you know, looking forward to it. Earn that right. And you know what? While we all laugh about it, and I was on two strikes when I was playing and never thought about, Social Security or pensions, there are very few people that have defined benefit plans, and I've got one as a result of doing a lot of radio and TV, but my most important one is the NFL one. And you know what? As you get older, that's not such a bad thing.
No, it's credit to you. Badge of courage, my friend. Well done.
Great.
A belated happy birthday to Gary. Thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you again during the season. Gary Fencik, 85 Bears, spending some time with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. When we come back, a man who spent most of his career upside down for the Bears is leaving the team on top. That's next. See the Chicago Bears gear up for the first time at Soldier Field this year. Tickets on sale now for the 2014 Chicago Bears Meyer Family Fest presented by Chase on Saturday, August 2nd. Visit ChicagoBears.com to get tickets. Alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. And we had a fun time chatting with Gary Fencik, who is a longtime Bear, another longtime Bear. No one has ever played, and the Bears have been around, they've been playing football since 1920. No one has played more games for the franchise than Patrick Manley's 245 career games. Not bad for a sixth-round pick out of Duke, who was a failed offensive lineman. And, Jim,
we joke about this all the time.
What was that about?
No, because he talks about it. He says that it was a preseason game, and Moses Moreno was the quarterback. and Patrick Manley was playing tackle. And he gave up a sack, and Moreno just got flattened. And that's the moment where
he knew that game.
He knew immediately, I better attack this long snapping thing with a vengeance. And he did it. And Jim, you played with him. And for a guy who's a long snapper to be that well respected inside the locker room, give us an idea of how Patrick Manley is as a man, because he's very different than most long snappers that you've probably associated with.
Oh, he is. He's a special human being. And I'm sure as Tom Thayer can attest to how great Gary Fencik was. You know, for me personally, I'm honored to have been his teammate. He was a great teammate, number one. Great individual. Tough son of a gun. But that, when you look at the long snapping position, it's an acquired skill. Those guys are in a glass house, and we're talking about one of the best in the NFL that has ever played that position. It's funny because I used to have to go out there, you know, the backup holder is always the quarterback. So I always have to go out in pregame and hold for snaps with the kickers to make sure we're all good if the punter gets hurt, that type of thing. And Pat was so good at his craft. He could, you know, we always talk about laces out, Dan. He understood by how many yardage you were back. Normally you're back about 7 yards before you hold the ball. He understood that the revolutions he put on the ball by yardage, I could lay down ball without spinning it where the laces would always be pointed towards the goalposts. And he studied it. You know, he took it to heart about his craft and did everything he could to perfect it. There's only one other guy I played with who was comparable to Pat Manley. That was Adam Schreiber, who snapped for 19 years in the National Football League. And Pat will go down as one of the greatest Bears of all time, not only the amount of games, but the guy was just money. Everything he did, it was just money. You knew it was a guy you could trust, you could count on. And so for me personally, being a former teammate, there aren't enough bouquets of flowers I could throw towards Patrick Manley, because he's one of the best in the business, if not the best that has ever done it at that position.
You know, the reference Jim always makes to his laces out comes from the Pet Detective movie with Jim Carrey, yeah. Because the laces have to be on the outside of the ball, away from where the kicker's foot is going to strike the ball. And you want to talk about the details of Patrick Manley. He knew the exact amount of rotations from the ball leaving his hands to get to the snapper's or the holder's hands to this places being the this laces being in the exact right spot. So it's not a variation to his skill. It's an exact to his science. And that's what the unique quality of Patrick is. He continued to get better. He was making solo tackles on punts even in his last year. But to endear himself as a leader and a professional inside the locker room when you're dealing with guys that are playing 75, 85 plays a game, it's really hard. And that's probably one of the things I admire most about Patrick Manley, is creating a science to his craft in an exact, but also the professionalism and the leadership he showed in the locker room during some very difficult times, because he went through some really big-time losing gaps in his career, and he sustained and he stayed here. So that's what makes me admire Patrick Manley.
I think it's remarkable when you consider the personalities that were in the Bears locker room over the years. You know, Olin Krutz, not the easiest guy in the world to get along with. Brian Urlacher, completely different guy. Those were the undisputed leaders of the locker room on their sides of the ball. And both the affection that they show for Patrick Manley, that says everything you need to know about him as a human being and a football player.
Well, yeah, it's just respect. Because, again, I mean, certainly Olin has his respect because of his toughness and durability and all the things that Olin brought. And the same with Brian Urlacher. But Pat Manley's right there, because the respect factor, there is no difference to players in that locker room. He requires and deserves the ultimate respect for what he's done.
And I have a feeling before all is said and done, Manley's going to be doing what we're doing right now at some point.
I hope it's your seat, not mine. And you say, listen, if you want to put a fire sale here, you put it above your head, Red.
This is Bears
You know,
Alexis.
Jim? He's trying to kick us out. He's trying to push us out the door.
Hey, he hosted the show last year. Yeah.
You know, that's you know, Jim and I, our whole career as a football player, you worry about them drafting the next guy in before you and next behind you. Now you start worrying about the next guy retiring after you. So, man, Zach's already kicking us out the door.
Yeah, he does have the hair and the stash. I mean, it's tough to compete. Now, when you look at the reality of what it means that he's no longer a Bear, you know, now when you look at the Bears special teams units, they've lost three specialists, Jim. They've lost their return man, Devin Hester. They've lost the punter, Adam Podlish. And you lose the glue in the captain, Patrick Manley. That's a lot to replace in one offseason.
It certainly is. And it's obviously, how does it affect the confidence of Robbie Gould? You know, he now has to go out and get the rapport with Brandon Hartson. I believe it's Rempel.
Yeah, Chad Rempel, former CFL long snapper.
Yeah, and he was with Tressman, I believe, up there in Canada. And, you know, can he get the rapport? Can he get the confidence in those guys to be confident in what he does? Because let's be honest, a lot of the games come down to a field goal or less, and that is a critical, still, when we talk about the third phase of the game, it's a critical part of the game. Returners, maybe not so much because of the new kickoff rule that moved it up to 35, so you see teams not wanting to invest as much in the return game because of the new rules, but field goals are huge. And this is huge. And to me, the biggest effect it's going to have is on Robbie Gould.
You know, one thing that concerns me, too, about the next snapper is what do you do in the immediate second that ball leaves your hand? And that's where you have to be at your most sturdy. You have to have balance at the conclusion of the snap that brings your momentum backwards. But then you have to stop your momentum and be a force on the outside of each shoulder to protect each one of those gaps. And that is the clear responsibility that's most important of the long snapper. Get that ball back in an efficient position to the holder, but then hold up against your responsibility. If they feel that you're vulnerable, if you are an area of attack, if your shoulder is less strong than what Patrick's been for the last 15 years, then you have a problem. So those are some of the investigations that special teams coordinator Joe DeCamillis has to filter through as he watches these guys try to demonstrate their talent during the more physical portions of training camp.
Join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. Coming up, we're going to be playing Ask Tom at 312-644-6767. Again, 312-644-6767 is the phone number to play Ask Tom. Basically, it's your opportunity to directly ask Tom anything you want to know about the world of football with Judge Jim Miller in the background taking notes. And at the end of the segment, the caller that Jim feels was the best caller of the segment will receive a gift certificate to Sports Authority. That's next. Ask Tom with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Register today at Priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. This is one of our most popular segments on Bears All Access. It's called Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Zach Zabeman, Jim Miller with you, along with 85 Bear Tom Thayer. We go rapid fire with your phone calls for Tom regarding the world of football while Jim is sitting back there taking notes on each caller and each question. At the end of the segment, Jim will pick the best question, and that caller gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So a lot on the line. You guys ready?
Ready.
A lot of pressure. Yeah. I'm ready.
Let's do it. We'll begin the festivities with William in Plano, Texas. William, ask Tom.
How you doing, William?
Hey there. How are you guys doing?
Good, good.
Okay. Tom, I'm going to ask a question concerning about the Chicago Bears. Have there ever been a kicker that would kick 60 yards or more to win the Chicago Bears a game? For example, if a kicker kicks 60-plus yards and the opposing team has to make up that 60-plus in less than a minute, has there ever been such a game?
Ooh, I mean, that's a good question. What's Robbie Gould's longest field goal? 59 yards?
I believe, yeah. Was it that game in Denver? Is that when he hit it?
I don't know. I thought it was an indoor kick. I'm not sure, though. But, I mean, to go and kick a 60-yard field goal to put your opponent, to win the game or give your opponent a shorter field, I'm not sure. But I think the longest field goal in the Bear history has been kicked by Robbie Gould.
Yeah, I remember I interviewed him afterwards, and it was a big source of pride because early on in Robbie's career, there were many people, the critics felt that, this guy was not a kicker that you could count on from long distance,
right.
And he took that personally.
Right, and he's had 50-plus yard kicks in Soldier Field under some very difficult circumstances, both footing, weather, and conditions. So, if the question is if the Bears have ever kicked a 60-plus yarder, I don't believe that's the case. I still think it's Robbie Gould at 59.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. I'll look it up. But by the way, it's not Stump Tom. It's Ask Tom. We continue the festivities.
I like William's question. I like his interest in it. That's a big kick, and kickers nowadays are capable of hitting those that length of a kick in the stadiums they get to play in.
All right, let's go back out, and we go to Vernon Hills. Rick, ask Tom.
Hey, Rick.
Hi, gentlemen. Tom, what's the likelihood of any of the guys after the draft who were undrafted and yet were posted high enough in the draft to actually gleam onto a team, or are those ratings in a sense overrated because maybe less than half of the guys who are ranked are ever going to make an NFL roster?
That's a good question. I wish I had the Bears roster in front of me because, there are some interesting characters that they go through the college evaluation process, and there's something that a scout doesn't like about them, or they may have a little brush with trouble that right before the draft that sets them back. I know in watching the Bears, there's a not knowing his name correctly, 96 he wears. He's an outside linebacker, Christian Jones. Now, I watch him in no-pad football, and he wasn't drafted, but I look at him and I see a true NFL that has the athleticism, the ability to start in the NFL. Now, if he takes all this time off and puts it towards constructive work to being a member of the football team, both in the weight room and everything else you have to do in order to be prepared, here's a guy that could show up on the radar in being a media contributor.
By the way, Robbie Gould's longest career field goal, week one this past season, 58-yarder late in the first half against Cincinnati.
All right, there you go, William, from Plano, Texas.
And he hit a 57-yarder in that game against the Broncos. You can call it the Marion Barber game or the Tim Tebow game, but
right.
It was not a very good game for the Bears. Back out to the phones we go, 312-644-6767. The segment, Ask Tom. At stake, a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Dwayne in Joliet, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Dwayne.
Good evening, gentlemen. Tom, Alshon had a lot of circus catches this past season. When we want to project the offense, do we factor that in as it being, you know, something that could transition to the next season, or should we look at it a different way? Look at the offense's potential a different way?
You know, that's a good question. I think if you look at the offensive potential, a lot of it relies on what Marquise Wilson can do in terms of speed to stretch the safeties away from coverages to Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. But in the last couple weeks of OTAs and minicamp, I've seen both Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey make some incredible catches. And still to the amazement of, you don't ever think you're going to see a better catch out of Alshon Jeffrey than he showed us last week. I think that's one of the gifts of Alshon Jeffrey, is the ability to focus on the ball late in its flight and doesn't give good indicators to defensive backs and then can make the catch. I'm happy he makes a difficult catch, because with the less coverage, if Marquise Wilson can help out along with Martellus Bennett and Matt Forte and the rest of the guys, then you probably see some relaxed coverages and in maybe not a simpler catch, but still having a chance to get his hands to it.
He reminds me of a big man in basketball where you're taught not to bring the ball down when you get a rebound, and he refuses to bring he catches the ball above his helmet nearly every time.
It is. And again, like last week and at the end of OTA or minicamp, he made a catch on the sideline that it put everybody in amazement. That's his teammates. And that's probably impressive because they see him do it all the time, but Alshon's still doing it.
Two more contestants here on Ask Tom. A gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line. Paul on the Southwest side, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you guys doing? There's my dog. I'm sorry. Question about training camp. From a player's point of view and a coach's point of view, the pros and cons of training camp at Bourbonnais as opposed to Platteville, from the players, if they like it or feel it's better, coaches that they like it. And if you were an owner and had the final say as to where your team would they be close by Chicago or out about 150 miles?
Oh, I would be at Kankakee all day. Platteville, it was a great atmosphere. Everything was housed really well, from eating to sleeping to the practice field, the locker rooms and everything. But you were still in Packer territory. And every day throughout practice, someone would yell, "Bears suck, go Pack," and it was kind of aggravating. Here, you have a great support system in Kankakee. You have a community that's embraced the Bears. The businesses down there, the Olivet Nazarene, that's been able to improve their facilities tenfold, you know, because of the combination and the relationship they have. I think it's great for the Bears fan support to come out to every practice, and I can't tell you how much it means to the players. If we're in Platteville and we had the 10 or 15,000 people that supported us, it was very motivating. And I think the same results are in Kankakee. It's very motivating to see the crowd out there come out and watch you practice.
Our final caller here on the Ask Tom segment with a gift certificate to Sports Authority on the line, Southside, Josh. Ask Tom.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
Good, good.
Good. Well, my question is, I saw the Bears draft that Pat O'Donnell, I believe, is named the punter.
Yes.
I was just wondering what you think the strategy behind that was. I mean, when I first saw that, I thought, you know, maybe switch this guy to tight end as a backup, you know, being that he did have the most reps in the combine.
Yeah, that is a good question. You know, I think when they admired the athleticism of the punter, the strength of his leg, and then the speed of all the testing that he goes through, whether it's strength on the bench or the way he can run. And with all that being said, now the important transition starts. Are you going to be able to be an NFL-style punter, being able to receive the snap and get the ball off your foot before the pressure comes to you? And it is. It's a pressure-filled job, because you don't have the luxury of just banging it down the middle of the field. You have to put it in a zone that's about 3 or 4 feet round near the sideline to really challenge the returner. So This is a young punter that still has the challenge of making it in the NFL.
Now it's the challenge of picking a winner, and that goes to Judge Jim Miller.
Oh, can I get a drum roll, please? I've got to go with Rick from Vernon Hills because, as everybody know, Tom pointed out about Christian Jones being undrafted. I don't want to put any pressure on Christian Jones, but think of a guy like Vontaze Burfict, who was undrafted out of Arizona State, and what he's done in that Cincinnati Bengals defense. He's led their defense in tackles. So it was about undrafted guys and do they have an impact. Really one of the most important part of the draft towards the end is making those undrafted free agent calls. Hey, we want to sign you. And so for the listeners out there, Christian Jones was projected to go in the middle rounds, and here the Bears sign him as an undrafted free agent, probably one of the best signings of any team in the National Football League.
Out of Florida State, Rick from Vernon Hills, congratulations. You win a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller. Want to remind you that Bears All Access is now available as a podcast. Subscribe on the show page at ChicagoBears.com. Got to take a time out. When we come back, is the guy who started the offseason as the Bears' number two quarterback a guy who is going to remain the number two Bears quarterback when the regular season rolls around? We'll discuss next with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access on The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, or go to ChicagoBears.com/InsideTheBears. And this week on Inside the Bears, Lance Briggs takes Anthony Adams through one of his boxing workouts, and the Bears rookies help build affordable homes in the Chicagoland area. Inside the Bears, tonight at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and Jim Miller with you. Our final few moments here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Now, when the offseason started, there was an assumption that Josh McCown would leave, and he did, ended up getting a good deal to become a starting quarterback in Tampa Bay. So basically now, when you look at the Bears, Jordan Palmer was the guy that came into the offseason with the number two job to lose. And what's interesting is, late in the offseason, the Bears go out and sign former Carolina quarterback Jimmy Clausen, and he's going to be around for the start of training camp. So, Jim, when you hear that and knowing the way the NFL works, does the antenna go up and do you start saying to yourself, you know what, Clausen's got a more than legitimate shot here to be the guy?
Yeah, I think he does have a shot. And, yeah, the antenna should go up because nothing's a given. I mean, Jordan Palmer hasn't earned anything yet, so it's time to now ratchet up the competition and say nothing's a given here. We're going to bring in competition to compete against you. And a lot of it is just to see how Jordan Palmer responds. I mean, he does not have a lot of NFL experience. So when you bring in Jimmy Clausen, I'm not saying Jimmy has a ton either, but at least it puts more pressure to the pressure situations that you're going to be in a game in front of, you know, 60,000 and another 5 million people watching at home. So nothing is given. It's got to be earned, and I'm sure it was just done to ratchet up the pressure, and we'll see where it goes.
You know, it's interesting because they brought Jimmy Clausen in with a long enough time to get an evaluation where he is mentally and physically. But now with this new collective bargaining agreement, I think the big challenge goes to Jimmy Clausen, because when you look at his body type, he has muscle to add. He has body fat to lose. He has to get into the position where durability is going to be an asset for him. And that's the thing about Clausen here. I think when you look at Jordan Palmer, although he did have a pulled pec or something that derailed him a little bit in the OTAs, physically he's a more imposing person than Clausen is. But that's where I think Jimmy Clausen has a lot of makeup work to do. He has to be a quarterback that understands there's value in the weight room. And when you look at the strengths of Jay Cutler and Josh McCown last year, they had some really impressive weight room totals. And again, it's like I'm talking about an offensive and defensive lineman here. I'm not. I'm talking about Jimmy Clausen, the quarterback, because strength is the component to success.
Great stuff, guys. What a quick hour.
Oh, man.
It goes quick,
man. We need
two.
Next show comes your way Thursday at 6 o'clock right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. For former Bears quarterback Jim Miller and 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening. We'll speak to you on Thursday night. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.